I don't know how you found praying in that way. I know for some people the idea of saying something out loud would just be far too terrifying to ever do. But actually, just even as you were there thinking those prayers, it kind of becomes a bit tricky. Father God, okay, yeah, we kind of have a sense of who he is. Jesus Christ, well, we've got a lot of stories of who he is. We've got maybe a good idea there. And then Holy Spirit, we start to maybe struggle a little bit more to get a sense of who is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, actually, what are you? And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Not so much what are you, but who are you? As a youngster, I used to play a game. I suspect most of you here have played it. And when you see that picture, you will recognize the game Guess Who. If you've never played it, let me explain it. You draw a card, and on that card, that is the person that you are. And then the other person has to ask questions like, are you male? Are you questions that can be answered yes or no. Or are you female? Have you got red hair or no hair or dark hair? Are you wearing glasses? Are you all sorts of different kind of questions. And it's all about what is the image that you have there in front of you on that card. And as long as you've got a clear image, you can answer the questions about who that person is. But when we come to the Holy Spirit, it's hard to have that image. So tonight, as we ask, who is the Holy Spirit, it becomes tricky. It becomes difficult. It becomes something a bit hard to kind of pin down and understand. Because when we look at Father God, we probably immediately have a picture in our mind of Father God. Probably for me, it's that picture from the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel of kind of God reaching with his finger, Adam with the finger almost touching. I couldn't get hold of that picture, so the one I've got is this. And I think for most of us, if we look at that image, even if you didn't have the strap line underneath it, Father God, you would look at that picture and you'd kind of go, yeah, I know who that is representing. If that wasn't there, you'd see that kind of up to about there on that character is all cloud. So he's clearly enormous and emerging through the clouds. But we look at an image like that and we kind of get, yeah, I know who that is trying to represent. Now, we know that God, Father God, does not look like that, because in Colossians, he is described as the invisible God. And it's kind of hard to do a picture of the invisible God. But we kind of go that way if we're looking at it. And I think we've been influenced by art and influenced by culture in doing that. When we come to Jesus Christ, again, we have a clear picture. This might not be the exact picture you would come up with, but if you saw that image, you would go, I know who that's supposed to be. We have no idea what Jesus Christ actually looked like, beyond he looked a bit human. But beyond that, we really don't know. But generally, if you look at images of Jesus Christ from Britain and America and the West, he tends to be white. If you look at images of Jesus from Africa, he tends to be black. If you look at images of Jesus from Asia, then he tends to either look Indian or Chinese. Because what we do is we take Jesus Christ, who is described in the Bible as the image of the invisible God, and then we make him to be in our image. We kind of make him to look a bit like us. Because actually, in so many ways, Jesus is about God being a bit like us. But when we come to the Holy Spirit, it's harder. And if you do a Google image search on Holy Spirit, one particular type of image comes up more than any other. What would that be? Dove. I heard someone say dove over there. Dove. And that comes up because at Jesus' baptism, it says the Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove. So we've got that kind of image, but we know the Holy Spirit isn't a dove. I hope you know that the Holy Spirit isn't a dove. But you get other kinds of images coming out as well. I heard one or two other people very, very quietly shouting them out. What other sorts of images do we get for the Holy Spirit? Fire, yeah. Anything else? Summer. Well, in the Noah story, when Noah was kind of, okay, the ark has landed, I want to find out when it's dry enough to get out, he sent out a raven first of all that flew around and came back again, and then the next time he let out a dove. So that wasn't a dove coming just from out of the blue, it was one that was already with him, and he let it out, it flew around and eventually came back with an olive leaf, and so he thought, okay, plants are growing again. There is that sense of being with us and showing God at work. Fire, I think that was one else that said, that often comes up because of the day of Pentecost. It speaks about tongues of fire coming and resting on them. Now, I don't know whether that just looked like their heads were on fire or whether it was like a little candle flame or quite what it was. The other images that come up quite a bit with Google, which as we know is the universal authority, is this kind of rays of light coming out of the sky, or sunbeams as we normally call them. And that's kind of, we kind of get that light, that's warmth coming out of heaven. The difficulty with that kind of image is it's really kind of like what the ancient Egyptians used to do when they were worshipping the sun. I went to one church, Christy and I were away on holiday, and we went to a church in the south coast, and they had this great big picture banner up on the wall, a bit like sometimes we have up in here, and it was all these rays coming down and kind of touching people with the love of God. And I just thought, when I'd studied a bit of ancient Egyptian, it was identical to some of the pictures that they used to use for worshipping the sun. And I thought, well, maybe we've missed the point somewhere in all of this. There's another website I quite often go to illustrate Bible stories called the Brick Testament. It's basically the Bible told through Lego. And when they come to the Holy Spirit, they use the different term. They use the Holy Ghost, and it is a Lego character with a ghost costume, like a big sheet over. Again, it doesn't really satisfy, it doesn't really connect with our experience of God, our experience of the Holy Spirit. So how can we get more to the heart of who is the Holy Spirit? Let me take us back again to Father God. We're going to talk a little bit about him, a little bit more about Jesus Christ, and see where that takes us in looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, generally within the Bible, Father God is portrayed as having certain characteristics. He is creator. He is all-powerful. Remember God speaking to Abraham, and the idea was, with God, nothing is impossible. He is all-knowing. So even though people might try and do things in secret, God always seems to know, always seems to find out, and always seems to catch them right in the act. And as we go through and you read these accounts of Father God, particularly in the Old Testament, what we find is that he is not like us. Right back in creation, it says that we are made in his image. And yet every time we come close to finding out who he is, actually he is so other, so different. If you want a theological word to throw at that, he is transcendent. He is above and beyond and so much more than we could ever think, ever be, ever imagine. One story or two stories in the Bible, but they come in the same chapter in Exodus 33, kind of brings home a little bit of what that means. This is the story, Exodus 33. Moses is leading the people in the wilderness, and they are They've just messed up. They've just built a golden calf. They've really messed it up big time. And then it talks about how Moses had the tent of meeting. And he would go there to meet with God. And when he met with God, he met with him, it's verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. You kind of go, yeah, I like that idea. I can picture that. I can understand that. Most of us here will have had a friend at least once in our lives. Hopefully more than that. Okay, I kind of get that. It then talks about how you kind of would glow, be radiant from the presence of God. But then a few verses later, in the same chapter, Moses is going to God. Now, God, I'm not going to get these people moving unless I know that your presence is going with me. A little bit like we just sang in that song. And God goes, that's fine. That's the plan. I will lead you. I will take you where you want to go. And then Moses goes, okay, Lord, what? Then show me your glory. And let me read to you God's answer. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And you kind of listen to it in our nice 21st century Western way of thinking and go, well, hang on, a few verses earlier he was meeting God face to face and now you're being told he cannot see your face. The thing we're dealing here with is metaphor, it's picture, language. It's got that intimacy with God. And yet at the same time, God remains so much more, so much bigger, so extreme that you cannot see God and live. Because he is so holy, and we are not. So we get this picture of Father God. When we move on to Jesus Christ, again, some of the attributes we pick out about Jesus, we see in these stories how wise he is. We see how loving, how compassionate he is. In fact, what we see when we look at Jesus is actually, he is quite like us in many ways. Or at least like the us we would want to be. The best us. What he is, and the way you'll remember in the Christmas prophecies that get read in carol services, he is God with us. He is Emmanuel. God with us. Again, if you want a theological label to put on that, he is God imminently with us. There's an intimacy, there's a closeness, there is a passion, a connection with Jesus, walking with him, that wasn't available walking with Father God through the wilderness or indeed at other times. Now, they are generalizations. You can find stories in the Old Testament of Father God meeting with Elijah in a still, small voice, not in the big, loud. You can find pictures of Jesus in the New Testament with his anger and his power. But Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit coming. He talks about it in a number of places. I'm going to read to you little bits from Matthew chapter 12, first of all. And this time, Matthew is telling the story. Jesus has been praying for people who are influenced by evil spirits, casting them out. It says, they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David, the Messiah, the one they're expecting to come? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Well, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus here is pointing to that use of power in his life to see amazing, miraculous, wonderful things happen, and saying that power, that is the Holy Spirit working through me. That is the Holy Spirit in action. That is what shows that God's kingdom, God's reign over the world has started. But of course, as well as talking about the Holy Spirit working through him, he also talks about the Holy Spirit coming. And this time, John 14 and John 16. I'll read you again these passages. From John 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." And flicking over to chapter 16, Jesus carries on, "Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." So in John 14, he says, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And what will that look like? Well, I will come to you." In John 16, he says, "I will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come to you." He sees them as being the same thing. Him coming, the Holy Spirit coming. So then when we come to the Holy Spirit, we find characteristics of Father God, because this is the Holy Spirit of Father God. In all of that transcendence, in all of that otherness, in all of that being bigger and greater and more powerful and more knowing and more everything than we could ever begin to get our heads around. But we also find that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. In all of that immanence, in all of that closeness, that intimacy. And these things come together. See, in one sense, Jesus Christ is not here with us this evening. The physical, bodily, earthed Jesus Christ is not walking around on this planet anymore. And yet we speak of Jesus being here because the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is here. So in the same way that at Christmas we read the prophecies of the baby born in Bethlehem being God with us, Emmanuel, now the Holy Spirit is God with us. The Holy Spirit is now Emmanuel. That is how God is with us now. Now, at the beginning of our worship this evening, Will prayed a prayer asking the Holy Spirit to come. And I have told Will I'm going to say this, and he wasn't hopefully too offended. It's an utterly pointless prayer. Because we don't need to invite the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here when God's people are gathered because the Holy Spirit is within us if we are Christians. So for Will to stand up and go, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit now, because without me doing that, I know this isn't what you were doing. Without me doing that, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be sure whether he was welcome. Be a little bit cautious, knocking on the door. Can I come in now? Is it time? It's a pointless prayer, come Holy Spirit. Except for one thing. And this is why it was a brilliant prayer. And it's why it's the prayer we're going to pray as we move on into the next part of our service. It's a prayer that not giving permission for the Holy Spirit to come, but saying, I'm open. I want more of you in my life. I want that intimacy, but I also want that power, that transforming power, to come and touch me. Because when I look at Dave Sundman, I'm not always keen on what I see. That may be a shock to you. You may think, well, how could anybody not think that was wonderful? Get to know me, you'll find out. But each one of us, actually, we are not everything we would want to be, let alone everything that God would want us to be. And there are things that I can do, and there are things that I can change, but there are also things I can't do on my own. And when I say, come, Holy Spirit, when you say, come, Holy Spirit, what we're doing is we're saying, I need your transforming power. I need you to change me so that in the same way that you are just like Father God and you are just like Jesus Christ, you can be doing that work in me to make me like God too. Certainly more like him than we are at the moment. And we've all got a way to go on that. So I'm going to pray the same prayer that Will prayed earlier on and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Will's going to lead us in another song, and then we're going to move into a time of prayer where you can be prayed for. Esther's going to explain exactly how we're going to do all of that and why we've got these little pots of oil down at the front. She'll explain all of that. But there will be a chance for you to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to have him come and change you and work in you how he wants to do that. Can I invite you to stand, if you're able? And perhaps even reach out your hands as if you want to receive. Come, Holy Spirit. We don't need to give you permission to come. You are here because you are in us. But Father, this evening we want to know that touch of your power in our lives, transforming us, being God with us, that we might become more and more like you. So come, Holy Spirit, touch us, fill us, change us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.